pick up the authorized version of the Word of God that you'll find in front of you in the pew, and turn with me to Psalm numbered 1. The Psalm numbered 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God will stamp the reading of his own infallible word with the seal of his own divine approval. Turn with me to Psalm numbered 1, the first Psalm. Here in this Psalm, the Holy Spirit reveals to us the mystery that takes place in the heart of a person that comes to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and the tremendous change that comes over that person as a result of the work of the Spirit of Grace. That man or that woman, that boy, that girl, is completely and totally and radically and eternally changed. The world knows their change. The family in which they live knows their change. The people know their change because they have partaken of the mystery of the new birth. How solemn are the words, and yet to thee if I pleam, which Jesus uttered while on earth, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. For so has God decreed. No reformation will suffice. 'Tis life poor sinners need. Ye must be born again, and life in Christ must have. In Him the soul elsewhere may go, 'tis He alone can see Him. Ye must be born again, or never enter heaven. 'Tis only blood-washed ones are there, the ransomed and forgiven. Ye must be born again, then look to Christ and live. He is the life, and waits in heaven eternal life to give. You look at this psalm, you will find five great characteristics of this mystery person who has partaken of the new birth. Look with me at verse 1, and you'll find he's a man who says no. He used to say yes. He used to say yes to the counsel of the ungodly, and walk in the ways of the counsel of the ungodly. He used to say yes to the way of sinners and take his path with sinners. He used to say yes to the scornful deniers of God and God's truth. And then suddenly, this man had a change. And this change was radical. This change was life transforming. This change was a demonstration of the almighty power of God in his life. And what happened? Will you look with me at verse 1? He walked no more in the counsel of the ungodly. Those that had counseled him and educated him and left him an example, he turned away from them once and for all. He was a man who said no, no, no to the counsel of the ungodly. And then he said no to something else, to standing in the way of sinners. Sinners wanted him to stand with them, and he stood with them. He was a companion of sinners. Their ways were his ways. Their language was his language. And their recreations and enjoyments were his. But now, he refuses to stand in the way of sinners. He has said an eternal goodbye to the ways of sinners. And then, look lastly, he sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. He used to sit in the seat with the sinners and with those that scorn God and Christ and the gospel and the Bible. But now, he's a man who says no. Don't you notice the downgrade that are in these three relationships? He's found, first of all, walking, and then he's found standing, and then he's found sitting. Because sin always brings a sinner to a standstill. There is no progress but the progress of damnation where sin is. But here is a man, something has happened to him, and he doesn't walk anymore in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand anymore in the way of sinners. He does not sit anymore in the seat of the scornful. Something has happened. He has partaken of the new birth. Now look with me at verse 2, and you find he's a man with a book. You never see him without the book. And what sort of book is it? It's a book in which he takes delight. Listen to these words. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He's a delighted man. He's a delighted man because he's got a book, and this book is his delight. He's delighted. And then something more. He not only reads this book in the daytime, but he gets up at night and he meditates on it day and night. He doesn't lift it in the morning, read a few verses and set it down again. Comes back in the evening, reads a few verses and sets it down again. This book is with him away, and he reads it with delight. You can test a man where he stands with God by his attitude to the Word of God. If he loves the Word of God, if he reads the Word of God, if he obeys the Word of God, if he seeks to delight in the Word of God, he's God's man. Something has happened. He's one of these mystery men who has had a life-changing operation in his heart by the power of God. Day and night, he keeps company with God's book. He has given up the world. He has given up the companionship of the world, the follies of the world, the practices of the world, and the sins of the world. And you always beat him. And the book is not only in his hand, but is in his heart. He meditates upon God's word day and night. That's the source of his strength. The Bible tells me that the Word of God is light. This man has got light. The Bible tells me that the Word of God is life. This man has got life. The Bible tells me that the Word of God is love. This man has got love. And these things dwell in his heart and in his soul. He delights in the law of God. Some people, when they turn to God's word, you are thinking they were going to read an agony column. The Bible is not an agony column. The Bible is for your delight. Do you want to delight yourself in God's law? Are you glad it's Bible reading time? God help the person who doesn't know the joy of Bible reading time, of reading the precious Word of God. This man is not only a man that says no, but is a man who says yes. He's a man with the book. But that's not all. Turn with me to the next verse, and you have a description of this man. He's a man like the tree, but it's a special tree. Notice all the things it tells you about the tree. First of all, it didn't just come there. This precious tree was planted. It's a planted tree. The Lord Jesus Christ taught us about the planting that his Father makes. And here is a tree of the Lord's planting. You just don't suddenly become a Christian. The Word of God must operate in your heart, and then God takes you and plants you. And he tells in his Word, every tree that the Father planteth shall prosper. God has planted the tree. This man is as a planted tree. Then notice, secondly, it's planted in the right place. A place where the waters are. A place where the nourishment is. A place where the refreshment is. A place where the tree can be fed with the refreshment that will bring it to fruition and produce the luscious branch with the luscious fruit upon it. It's a tree planted by a river. Some Christians, when you look at them, you know that they were planted in the wilderness. They don't have that refreshment about them. And they're dry. Have you ever met a dry Christian? Have you? There's some people, and when I see them in the street, I get away as quick as I can, because it would do you harm. And they're dry. But oh, how great a thing it is to talk with a man who knows those beautiful waters of life. Planted by God by the river of water. No. By the rivers of water. This Bible is not a river. This Bible is rivers of water. Christ said that if a man drinks of the water that I shall give him, that man out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Did you have some today? No, that water that is alive, that brings life to your soul. If you don't drink of the waters of life, you'll not have life. Rivers of water. So the tree is planted. The tree is planted by the rivers of water. But the tree is fruit bearing. It brings forth fruit. It's not a fruitless tree. If your life is fruitless, you need to search your heart. Because this tree cannot be fruitless. God says it brings forth his fruit in his season. There's a season for fruit, you know. And if you don't go to a tree when the season has come, you'll not find the fruit. But if you go in the season, time of fruit bearing, you'll find it. And this man, this mystery man, he brings forth fruit in his season. It comes at the right time. This is an ordered plant of God, looked after by the hand of the great gardener in the garden of God. And it's tended by the loving nail-pierced hand of Jesus, and it brings forth fruit in a season. How can a person that once walked in the counsel of the ungodly, stood in the way of sinners, sat in the seat of the scornful, how can this man be so radically transformed and changed? And the old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Why? Because God has wrought his regeneration within their heart, and within their mind, and within their soul. Do you know that change in your life? The change that comes, and the fruit bearing that comes, and the time of your season. And then it says about this man, his leaf also shall not wither. He's an evergreen. An evergreen. No withering. The leaf never falls off the branch of the tree that has been planted by God. A non-withering plant. A plant that has that seal of God upon it every day. It shall not wither. And it is a prosperous tree. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Isn't this a tremendous description of this mystery man? The mystery man who says no. The mystery man who has a book in his hand, and he knows what's in the book, and he meditates on it day and night. The mystery man who's like this tree planted by the river. This is not a civil rights man who says we shall overcome at last. This is a man who's there at the river overcoming now. God has called us to be overcomers now. Not tomorrow, but now we should overcome. What a wonderful thing to be a man like God's tree, the tree of God's planting. Oh, I want to be planted by that river. Oh, I want to bear fruit in season for God. Oh, I want the beauty of Christ to be seen in me. Oh, I want to prosper. Oh, I want to bring to God the glory. That's the cry and desire of this mystery man. But then look at verse 4, and you find this man is a man with a difference. This experience of his is permanent. It's not just a temporal thing. It doesn't just last for a month or 2 months or 3 months. It lasts forever. This is an everlasting experience. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. What a difference between the ungodly man and the godly man. What a difference between them. What a tremendous difference between them. I trust that tonight that God will show us this difference, and we will ask ourselves in our hearts, is this difference in my life? Is there the line of demarcation between me, permanent, eternally conformed to the image of Christ, or am I just chaff which the wind will blow away? There's nothing in the world to satisfy anyone. And when you go to the house where people are approaching death, you soon find that out. You know, I know men, and they've gone down the road to hell through gambling. But the bookie never turns up at the deathbed to give them comfort. In all my ministry, nearly over 60 years, I've never sent the bookmaker at the bedside. He has no comfort to give the man. Nor the publican, nor the other sinners that he sinned with. You don't want to know about it. But thank God, if you're a child of God, Jesus will be at the bedside. The friend that never changes, whose love can never die, he'll be at the bedside. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. And thank God, the child of God has a permanent and eternal change in his life. All things have passed away. All things have become new. And the godly shall stand in the judgment day. When the books are opened, when God reads the record, when God summons us to attend to what we've done in time, and with all the days of our life, he will stand, because he's not standing in his own strength. He's standing in the strength of the one who carried his sins to Calvary and shed his life's blood for his redemption. And the godly man will not be thrown out of the congregation of the righteous. He will be a member of that congregation. Is my name written there on the page bright and fair? Tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? But let's look at the last verse. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way of the ungodly is wiped out. It perishes. It remains no more. It's forgotten, and it's blackened out in the darkness of a lost sinner's hell. But the Lord knoweth. I was greatly struck when I looked that up in the Hebrew text. It's in the continuous tense. The Lord keeps on knowing the way of the righteous. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to know the Lord better every day in heaven. The surprises of the first day in heaven will be overshadowed by the surprises of the second day in heaven. On the third day, we're going to be learning all the time we're in heaven. New things are going to happen to the child of God. We hear sermons on heaven, and when you hear them, you think, well, I've arrived in heaven. What will I do? Some Christians would like to think that heaven is a place of celestial sofas where they lie down and do nothing. But that's not what the Bible tells me. It tells me his servants shall serve him. Everyone in heaven is employed, busily employed. But he says, the Lord keeps on knowing the way of the righteous. He leadeth me. Heaven is a place where you're led. How do I know? Read the book of Revelation, and you'll find it's a place where God leads his dear children along. Every step will be the unveiling of more mysteries, of more wonderful things, because we're redeemed by the Lord. This is the mystery man. This man is the man that can say no, and he has said no. He's a man with a book. That book is his delight. He's a man like the tree he's planted by the river of water. He's a man who is different. He's abiding. He remains. He's permanent. He's eternal. And he's the man that is known and will always be known by God. How do you measure up tonight, my friend? My dear listener, how do you measure up? Are you a mystery person? Has God wrought this mystery in your heart? Well, if he hasn't, it can be wrought tonight by the power of God. All you've got to do is come to Jesus. Weary, worn, and sad. You can find in him a resting place, and he will make you glad. Not all the outward forms on earth, nor rights that God has given, nor will of man, nor blood, nor birth, can raise a soul to heaven. The sovereign will of God alone creates us heirs of grace, born in the image of his Son, a new peculiar race. The Spirit, like some heavenly wind, blows of the sons of flesh, creates anew a heavenly mind, and forms the man afresh. Our quickened souls awake and rise from the long sleep of death. On heavenly things we fix our eyes, and praise employs our breath. Is that what you can say? I have been changed. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. May God do that heart-changing work in our lives this night. And may every man and woman, boy and girl, have a saving interest in the precious, precious blood of the Lamb.